It's ominous, Derek.
It's a little ominous.
Yeah. I couldn't think of a better way to start this week's podcast, though. We say the end of an era.
It is kind of the end of this season's Kane's career, but I don't know if a season's a career, but yeah, it's certainly an end. And we drift into the smoke.
As we wind down this, another long, glorious season. This, at the end of March. But hope. Is there hope, Derek, that while remnants may have been left for us over the last couple of weeks, highlights, things like Jeff Skinner breaking his goal-scoring record and ascending to number 2 on the list of all-time Canes goal scorers.
I'm sorry, that's still nutty. I know I'm killing the vibe, but that's still nutty.
Is there hope that maybe by this time next season, we will rise.
Are you saying we're going to hire Ken Hitchcock?
Rise. No. We're going to have Coach Bill Peters behind the bench.
My Skinner.
We've got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, Derek.
We do. There are a lot of good things, and we're kind of in this eerie, like, mourning the loss of this season and the loss of playoff potential, but there's still a lot to look forward to, Mike, and we've got a lot of details to go into about what people have to look forward to this Saturday in particular.
Yes, we've got the end of season tailgate. We've got a couple of great guests tonight. I believe you could call him the heavyweight champion at Sports Channel 8.
I will.
He's
at least the light heavyweight champion.
He's definitely above 205 live. We know that. Hayes Permar on the podcast. Also, to bring us the gravitas of high gravity beer.
Well done, sir.
Dan Spencer, here to talk about how do you not get blackout drunk at this Saturday's tailgate.
You know, it's good advice. Will it be heeded by all? We shall see.
We shall see. So, Derek, as we drift away into the blue light and the smoke that was this season, do me a favor.
Yeah, man.
Rest in X Button.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the Cheaters Never Win podcast, another fine product of Section328.com. Here you'll find all the Hurricanes hockey talk, adult beverage reviews, and snark a growing body needs. Follow us on Twitter at Section_328. Respect the underscore. And now back to Derek and Mike.
And thank you guys for welcoming us back again into your ear holes for this, Derek, as we were just saying, the longest running podcast in Carolina Hurricanes podcast history.
That we know of.
That we know. Well, we.
You know what? At us with that.
Yeah, if you know of one that's running longer than us, this tonight is the last podcast we will do during this, the regular season. I believe this is the completion of our fourth season of Cheaters Never Win.
We have spent way too much time talking to each other, not just in person, but behind microphones and having people join in and listen to us and interact with us on Twitter. So thank you to everybody who has listened to us for one or more episodes over these past four seasons. I mean, we do this because we enjoy it, and we also enjoy meeting new hockey friends and welcoming more people into our hockey family.
Yeah, it's quite the blast, and we do enjoy it. So again, thank you guys for listening to us here this evening. We will do our best to not bore you, but again, we do have to go to our favorite, what folks have said is really their favorite part of the podcast, Derek. A quick live in-game update. Hurricanes taking on the Minnesota Wild. I believe we're near the start of the second period.
We are actually into the second period now.
Yes.
17:22 remaining in the period. It is still 3-3 in a defense optional night at the XL Energy Center in Minnesota.
Has Devin Dubnyk increased his save percentage above 500 yet?
He has made one save this period, so he is now allowed 3 goals on 7 shots.
Yes. So that's I believe that is a
smooth 571.
Ooh, that's a good save percentage.
So in the QMJHL maybe.
Yes, Rimouski. So, again, thank you guys for listening tonight. We really do appreciate listening to this, the official hockey podcast of the Sports Channel 8 Podcast Network. And tonight we're going to talk with none other than the lead anchor, dare we call him...
Those are our words, not his.
Our Ron Burgundy. Hayes Parmar is going to be on the podcast a little bit later to talk to us about his exploits in Phoenix at the Final Four and share some exciting news with you about this week's tailgate. But Derek, we missed a podcast last week. Unfortunately, real life got in the way. But there was a lot of home games at the PNC Big ATM last week,
yes,
including a very odd home back-to-back against Detroit.
Yeah, the Monday night game. So going in, like you said, it was weird to play the same team on consecutive nights in the same barn. And that Monday night game was just, it was kind of a sloppy game. It kind of reminds me a little bit of this. It reminded me a little bit of the 8-4 game against the Islanders, but just less fun. And I don't want to gloss over all the hockey, but I'm going to do that right now. The only story coming out of that game that anyone cared about was Eddie Lack and his health and how he was doing. And, you know, that night we left the arena and we're in the car and we didn't even want to listen to the aftermath for different reasons. But it was just, it was eerie sitting there in near silence for what felt like far longer than the 10 or 15 minutes it actually was. But credit to the Red Wings for coming back out of the tunnel. I don't know if it was Zetterberg specifically or Blashill or somebody that said, hey, get out here, show some respect. And the Canes all joined them around there. And good on those organizations. And the best news of all was, you know, hearing that Eddie Lack was leaving the hospital. And it was just a neck strain after what looked like it could have been much, much worse.
Yeah, it was, I, as Section 328's resident optimist and happy person, when my little one looked over at me, all of 2.5 years of junior me, and he goes, Daddy, Eddie okay? Oh, buddy. Oh, buddy. I shed tears on the way to the parking lot. I did not have a good feeling. I mean, I saw the thumbs up. And, you know, that was great to see, but I just had this feeling in the pit of my gut that we had seen something akin to what we saw with Joni Pikkanen when we saw him go heel first into the end boards and never saw him play in the National Hockey League again. And that was my fear. And the fact that Eddie got to lace him back up and get back on the ice within 7 days is a testament to not only medical science, but to the first responders, I think, and the people who were on the ice with him to make sure that he did everything that he was supposed to do, got the greatest care. One of the things we don't think about a whole heck of a lot around here is the fact that we do have amazing medical facilities here in Raleigh, thanks to the folks at Rex, UNC Healthcare, and Wake Med, who just do a phenomenal job of taking care of everybody, and I just could not have been happier to not only see the outpouring of support, but to see a message from Willie Lack when I woke up in the morning that said, "Hey, I talked to Eddie; he seems to be doing okay." Was just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So that was it. You know, the fact that we won the following night almost felt ancillary to the fact that Eddie was okay.
Absolutely. And one thing I want to say that's kind of away from the on the ice, you know, almost everyone, no matter who you were cheering for that night in the stands, that stayed and stood and was respectful of, at that moment, the gravitas of the situation. And, you know, nearing the end of it, there was at least one Yahoo who wanted to show his support for the Red Wings over concern for Eddie Lack, and nearly got stomped out by fans of both the Canes and the Wings. So those of you listening, the majority of everyone in that building that night was very classy. But if you're at a game and someone is down and injured and you think, hey, should I cheer for my team at this moment? The answer is no.
Right.
Don't do it.
And it was, I mean, there was a bit of, you know, the trolls that came out on Twitter afterwards, and we're not going to recognize them on this podcast because
nope,
that just feeds their egos. But the amount of people who came out and then were just negative, there's a special place for those people. And I look forward to them visiting that special place one day.
Mm-hmm.
That special place was not the Dallas game. No, it was, felt like the Dallas game.
It was close.
Yeah. It for all of the hope we had amassed over the last couple of weeks, and let's not downplay a franchise record 13-game point streak to think, you know, this is a club that went to the Eastern Conference Finals three times within a decade, won the Stanley Cup, and for this team, which is very young, one of the youngest teams in the National mm-hmm. Hockey League, when you're already out of the playoff picture, to fight and claw your way back into the playoff picture with a 13-game point streak is nothing to shy away from. I think that was a great learning experience for this hockey club. I think it showed that these guys know how to win. And I think it showed that these guys are learning different ways to play, because we had some injuries through that. We had some up and downs through that. Eddie Lack, we talk about the injury concerns, but Eddie Lack went from being the goaltender fallout boy to the goaltender who was going, wow, maybe this guy's actually got something. And for all of the hell that those of us behind this mic and on the other side of Twitter gave hell to Bill Peters, you know, I did bring up the fact that, you know, maybe this was coach's way of motivating Eddie, getting in his head. We had talked about it off air, but Eddie's stats before the injury were something crazy, like a sub 2 goals against and an over 940 mm-hmm. save percentage.
He was outstanding in those games
after Bill Peters basically told him to make an effing save.
The other thing that came out of that you wondered more so than I did if it was Bill Peters being a motivational sort of coach. The guy that he praised in that same session, Jay McClement, you know, we were all like, what the hell are you doing? You're calling Jay McClement a warrior and saying how integral he is to this team. How many games has Jay McClement played since that day?
Not a lot.
One, maybe two, I don't know, but it wasn't a lot. So maybe it was kind of the psychology aspect of you praise McClement and you don't play him because you're needing to bring some other guys up and get some infusion in there, and you criticize
Lack. Well, also McClement
Lack.
Was hurt.
Understood, but he's been a healthy scratch some too.
Right. So it's interesting. Again, we're not going to give all of the kudos to Bill Peters. Have absolutely nothing to do with it, but at the end of the day, it was it lined up quite nicely. Eddie Lack proved that he can be, when he relaxes and plays his style of goaltending.
Listen to David Marcoux.
Sorry,
I had a little tickle.
Yeah, I was going to say you have a French nose in your throat. But it's... it's exciting for what could be to come. We're again tied against Minnesota in the second period on the night that Eric Staal is playing his getting recognized for having played over 1,000 games in the National Hockey League. And
Mike,
yes, sir. Oh, in game update.
This game is no longer tied. It is now 4-3, Minnesota.
Ooh.
Charlie Coyle.
Charlie Coyle, he of the Long Island coils or of the Saskatchewan coils?
Tesla.
The Tesla coils, yes. Shame that he doesn't play for Tampa Bay.
It is.
Yeah. But 4-3, live in-game updates, exactly what you listen to this podcast mm-hmm. multiple days later for. But we promise to be better next time.
That we do. Do you want to talk much about the Dallas game?
No, I do not remember the Dallas game. I do want to say Cam Ward played a decent game.
Yes.
Gave up one goal on a fair amount of shots.
It was more than 20, I believe.
But the Hurricanes lost in 3-0 fashion, and the fact that Cam Ward was made the second star of that game was complete homerism, and I blame Mike Sondheim into strong-arming people to vote for Cam Ward, so that way he thinks he can appease the fans, but at the end of the day, just let us go home and let us be angry.
Yeah, there were three guys, at least on Dallas, that earned stars that night. You said everything. I don't need to get into it more. So
I say everything a lot.
And in the Pittsburgh game, did you watch any of that game?
No, sir, I did not. Did you watch any of that game, Derek?
No, sir, I did not, because there was a thrill ride that night.
It was. It wasn't just a great thrill ride. It was. It was the ultimate thrill ride.
Yeah. So sorry, hockey fans, but WrestleMania is but once a year, and with the Dallas game taking the wind out of our sails, we kind of knew the Canes weren't in the playoff picture anymore, and WrestleMania beckoned. So we were absent on Twitter that night. Our apologies, and or you're welcome, depending on how you feel about our Twitter. So yeah, didn't really watch that game. We lost, and let's just move on to tonight, right?
Yeah, we're moving on. Good chance to, I'm hoping upon hope that we get to spoil Eric Staal's night. What I really like to see for this team, and what I think would be a great step forward and something, you know, that the Canes could potentially market to, I'd love to see a 90-point season. You know, I'd love
nice.
It. We're at 84 points. If we could get 6 points out of these last four games, to be able to market that, hey guys, we got a 90-point season. The draft position, the 12th, 11th, you know, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, whatever it's going to be. I don't know if that makes much of a difference this year.
I don't think it does.
Because, again, there is no generational talents that are sitting there, and that's kind of a wash of players anyway. So I'd love to see this team get to 90 points. I'd love to see a couple of home wins. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see those last couple of home wins mean something. I'd like to see us just be able to get out there and enjoy the sweater off the back night and really just kind of go out with a bang and enjoy the last couple of games of the season. As this team continues to grow, Sebastian Aho, he is who we thought he was.
We're not letting him off the hook.
Jeff Skinner is becoming amazing. Jacob Slavin, where the second C stands for goddamn. Probably not.
No, yeah, certainly not with him.
Certainly not with him. But Jacob Slavin, absolutely amazing. Young defense coming along. Pipeline full of young defensemen. And lots of changes to happen across the landscape of the National Hockey League with the impending Las Vegas Golden Knights. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Get rid of the loss.
The Vegas Golden Knights expansion draft. And we'll be talking a lot more about that in the coming weeks. But again, I think there's a lot of things to build on here, and I know I'm often accused of painting a very smiley picture of this Carolina Hurricanes, but if we could get to 90 points, that would be, I believe, a 7 or 8 point improvement mm-hmm. for a team that basically was the same exact team last year, except for Sebastian Aho, Matt Tennyson, and Lee Stepniak.
So I was thinking we'll probably get into that a lot more next week when we don't have active hockey games coming up and a tailgate. And I had a couple thoughts. Well, one and a question for you, Mike.
Okay.
One, do you think they're just the Vegas Golden Knights and they didn't want to put loss in their name because they'll have plenty of those on the standings?
Oh, huh. That's punny.
Thanks. Two, you mentioned ruining Eric Staal's night or spoiling his night. And I wanted to ask this question of you, and I have an answer as well. So they award him a silver stick and a crystal thingamajig.
A Tiffany crystal.
Oh, there you go. And a watercolor painting of his time here in Carolina. So if you could give him one item that would spoil his night, what one item would you give him?
Ooh, if I could give Eric Staal one item that would spoil his night, I would give him a 25-second shift. because we all know how Eric Staal hates time-appropriate shifts.
And see, I was thinking more cruel. I was thinking that they pull the black curtain off the painting, and it's a picture of not an injury, because that's too crass, but it's just Alex Edler waving at him.
I mean, if you're going down that path, you know, you pull back, and it's a shadow box of just Mark Staal's eye patch.
Oh God!
No, too deep, too soon, too soon. Is that wound fresh?
It's Jared on FaceTime because he's not busy.
Oh, hey, Jared's busy. He's playing for Fife, I believe, in the Scottish Elite League.
He's playing with Fife Dog.
Yeah,
nice. I didn't know Fife Dog played hockey.
Yeah, he does. Paul Lawson, who I think sometimes listens to this podcast, is one of our few Scottish listeners. And Paul, he is the number 90 Paul Lawson, I believe, ever on the Twitters. Scottish hockey fan and key veteran of the alumni game here in Raleigh. But Paul's probably the only one who got my haggis joke on Twitter earlier tonight.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine. You know what's better than fine?
What that?
Our guests. Derek, I'm not only a little excited to have this person on the podcast, I'm a little nervous.
Why?
Well, he has a very broad background.
Okay.
But I'm also afraid he may call HR on us.
Ooh, we don't want that.
No, we don't want that. On the line, good to have him back with us, is none other than reporter, world traveler, YouTube video sensation, and chief executive blazer wearer at Sports Channel 8, it's Hayes Permar calling in live from Phoenix, where we understood something of interest to other people happened, but we could give a rat's ass less. Hey, Hayes, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, how's it going? I need to hit on a couple things in your intro. First, I noticed how you said a little excited and not a lot excited. You seemed as excited as you were nervous. I got that. And second of all, you don't have to worry about HR. I avoid that office as much as possible. So you will not be called on them on my behalf. Don't worry about that.
Well, that's good to know that we're going to stay clean and clear of the HR office over at Sports Channel 8. Last time we walked by, Weather Moose was in there, and it didn't look like good things were happening. So, Hayes, you are out in Phoenix. Can you tell us, what was it like to see a North Carolina-based team win a championship?
Well, it's not like it's that rare. We've seen Duke do it. We've seen North Carolina do it before. And even shifting around sports, we've seen, I believe, the Carolina Hurricanes win a championship, although that's been over a decade now, so it's a little bit living in the past. And maybe we can live vicariously through Clemson, since they were an ACC team. And even though we, you know, dismissed South Carolina out of hand many times, that was fun to watch too. But when did you get in person? I think of all those other ones that I just mentioned, I didn't see any of them in person. So it was pretty cool not only to be there for the final thing, but to be there for many of the steps along the way, including, you know, the ACC tournament where they faltered in a great matchup and then had some near catastrophes along the way in the NCAA tournament. But it was cool to have taken the journey kind of with them and then to see it end where it did. I got to point out, there are a lot of reporters who are a lot better than I, who write better than I do, who do better TV. But I believe that I was the North Carolina media member, or the only media member, who got the final player interview of the UNC team last night when I tracked down Stillman White at an unnamed casino at 3 a.m. just outside of Phoenix. So, look, other people do better work, but I won't admit that anybody works harder than Sports Channel 8.
That is why we are absolutely proud to be a part of the Sports Channel 8 podcasting network. You know,
and why we're proud to have you.
And so the name of our podcast is Cheaters Never Win. We won't get into the fact that cheaters just won last night. So let's look forward, and let's not get too deep into hockey yet. That'll come next. I want to talk to have you talk to our folks here. What's next for Sports Channel 8? Because summer in North Carolina isn't home to a lot of big sports. So what is on the docket for Mr. Parmar and the rest of the Sports Channel 8 crew?
It's not, but, you know, we'll take a page from folks like the NFL, and even the NBA has gotten better at it, and certainly college football, where we will play up big news of, you know, off-season transactions and practices and injuries that will be healed well before the season begins. We will dive deep into them. That will be one part. On a more serious note, North Carolina is a beautiful state for the sport of golf. And whereas normally we are guaranteed two golf events in between sort of the, I was about to say the end of basketball and the beginning of football season, but I feel like I should work hockey in there. In between the end of hockey season and the beginning of hockey season, we usually have two guaranteed PGA events, as well as some senior PGA events. And this year we're actually picking up a third, and it's going to be a major. So it was a little bit of a coup in that we pulled the major in Charlotte at the Quail Hollow, where normally a championship would have been held. But we got to keep that same championship, which has moved over to Wilmington. So it's not quite as big on the radar as some of the other things we mentioned, but we will not be without sports to talk about. And again, there'll be multiple times and at least one time where, you know, all of the golfers will be coming out to North Carolina. So that's going to be a major focus. Minor league baseball is a big thing. We're actually working up a series right now on the best promotional nights at each ballpark throughout the summer, which starts next week in Greensboro, where they're having Bayheim Night, I believe, next Tuesday. So that's going to be a big one that Sports Channel 8 will cover in full. And a lot of other, you know, just here and there things we'll pick up. We'll talk about maybe catching some college sailing. We got a Big Rock tournament coming on. So, yeah, maybe we're squeezing as much as we can out of some smaller events. But North Carolina has a vibrant sports team, even in the offseason.
So, Hayes, are you saying that right now we can say that Greensboro is telling Jim Boeheim that they will see you next Tuesday?
Absolutely. Jim Boeheim, see you next Tuesday. Absolutely.
Ah, yeah, that's quality you only get here on Cheaters Never Win. So, Hayes, as you're coming back to North Carolina from Phoenix, one of the things I'm sure you have to look forward to is the great North Carolina beer. And part of the reason we wanted to have you on tonight was due mostly to our recent affiliation with the Sports Channel 8 team. We have a very, very special sponsor for our end of season tailgate this Sunday. Would you like to share, as a international global exclusive...
This is breaking news.
Breaking news. What you have secured for not only the final Section 328 tailgate of the season, but just how excited you are for this announcement.
I'm extremely excited for the announcement, especially because in Hayes' heart, hope springs eternal. And I understand that the Mass guys have not eliminated the Hurricanes from the playoffs yet at the time of this recording. And I'm going to assume that that's going to hold and that Saturday night the Hurricanes will be playing for a chance to get in the playoffs. And we will be celebrating it with some of the finest beer from Trophy Brewing. And it's my personal favorite beer ever, anywhere. Bar none, it is the Trophy Weiss that'll certainly be out there, and they may even send us some special stuff that they're putting in cans on Friday before the tailgate on Saturday. So a lot of Trophy Weiss will be out there, and again, Trophy Brewing is just one of my favorite places. There's many times where I think maybe I should give up drinking because it can be a little bit destructive to your body. Yeah. But I think even if I went without drinking alcohol, even for a short time, I would still go to Trophy Brewing and just drink, I don't know, bottled Cokes or whatever, just because I like the atmosphere so much. I like the people. And I like that they, sort of like the Carolina Hurricanes, they sort of represent Raleigh. A lot of the guys are from Raleigh. They do good things around Raleigh. They recognize things like Section 328, Cheaters Never Win, Sports Channel 8 are, you know, very part of a local community. We're not just messing around here. We love this place, and that's sort of why, you know, we love our sport like they love their beer, but it's also sort of about just sort of loving the area and the people in this area. That got real serious for a minute, but yes, I fully support Trophy Brewing, and I fully support them supporting us, and I can't wait to bring some out to share.
Yeah, we are very excited because we know if we know nothing else and you learn nothing from this podcast, just know that Hayes Permar loves it in the can.
Jeez.
I like it in a can. I like a wide mouth in a can. all that stuff.
Yeah, good.
I got to point this out. Clever of you guys to not only make sure that I deliver the beer by having me on the podcast. Like, you didn't want to text me and be like, hey, you didn't forget, did you? We'll just do the, hey, we'll invite him on the podcast. And then I see you loud and clear. Your second ulterior motive is, you know, Hayes has been a little distracted. He's been on the road. Maybe hasn't gotten our podcast up as timely as he could have, or when the Hurricanes were, you know, more in playoff contention. And by the only way you can guarantee that the podcast goes up the minute that it goes out is by, of course, putting me on the podcast. So great work by you guys. You're crafty, and you deserve a great tailgate, as do all the folks who support Section 328. So we're going to make that happen.
Look, Mike is in sales, and he understands that at a certain time you just need to play to a man's ego.
That's as small as mine is, it can still be played to, believe it or not.
We'll go ahead and rack that one. Hayes, wanted to talk about the podcast here. Mike brought this up, and since you mentioned HR earlier, I figured I would combine the two in a lovely fashion here. We'd love to get we've spent one season now as part of the Sports Channel 8 Network, from the Chief Blazer Wearer. We'd love to get an on-air performance review from you. How have we been to the Sports Channel 8 family? Are we carrying our weight?
I'm going to be honest. You've been great to us, but in this business, it's all about results. And I don't mean views or sponsorships or anything like that. That's going to come. Every time we put our foot on the gas at Sports Channel 8, whether it be with the hockey coverage or anything else, we get a great response. The results we need, guys, are the Hurricanes in the playoffs. Now, I realize that by doing a podcast, you have very little to no control over that. But basically, your performance review is always going to depend heavily on how the Hurricanes do. So I don't know how you guys get around the fact that, you know, you don't work for the organization. You have no control over decision making. You don't have a budget to buy the team and turn them into the Carolina Section 328. However, I'm going to be honest with you. When it comes to your performance review, it will mostly depend on how the Carolina Hurricanes do. So right now, you guys are teetering towards not a great one. But again, hope springs eternal. As long as they get in the playoffs, you guys are guaranteed to be renewed for next year.
Well, hopefully folks will PNC us there on SportsChannel8.com next season. And if you want to see us and Hayes Permar, make sure you come out to the season-ending tailgate where our great friends at Trophy Brewing have just so very generously decided to bestow upon all of us and you, our loyal listeners, the Nectar of the Gods, and we call that Nectar of the Gods Trophy Wife. It is delicious, almost as delicious as having the sweet, dulcet tones of Hayes Permar here on Cheaters Never Win. Hey, safe travel back from the West Coast, sir. We look forward to seeing you on Saturday. Don't be late.
Thank you, guys. Although I must say, I'm actually not headed back from Phoenix right now. I caught the bug and am driving towards the Grand Canyon. So who knows? If the Hunter S. Thompson spirit within me continues to move me, I might not make it back for Saturday. But guess what? I guarantee you the trophy wife will be there. And if you could have one or the other, me or the beer, I'm pretty sure I know what you guys would be picking.
Yep. Yep.
No objections there.
Have a good night, Nate.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on, as always. Can't wait for the tailgate Saturday.
See you then. We can't wait to the tailgate either, Derek.
Oh, it's like, what, 72 hours away now?
Something like that.
Still too many, but tell you what. I mean, I don't want to give too much away, but it's going to start early.
Yeah, it's going to start early. As you guys have heard, the good folks at Trophy are providing more than one can of beer.
that'd be awful if they just gave like one can of Trophy Wife and everyone line up. We'll pass this around. We all get a quarter of a sip.
Yeah, they're providing a fair amount of beer. And for those who join us at the tailgate, who are over the legal drinking age, and wish
if we don't know you, we will card you.
Yeah, and we will, again, share in the bounty that has been a great first season as a member of the Sports Channel 8 podcast network. Never gets old. And so stick around. We've got another interview in Cheat Mail. We're going to be giving out all of the details of this Saturday's tailgate, which if you're listening to this podcast, newsflash, you're invited to. So stick around right after Cheat Mail. We will give out all of the details. But before then, I think it's important, Derek, that if we're talking about said beer, we should know best how to consume and how much to consume of said beer. Derek, we often talk about beer on this podcast, but it's not often that we get a brewing and beer aficionado actually on the line.
I can confirm all of those things you said are true, but we're changing that right now.
I think it's and now is a good time to do it. So we have invited, prior to the final tailgate of the year, one of our very own, someone who we've never had on the podcast before. Welcome to Cheaters Never Win for the first time. Section 328's beer snob, Dan Spencer. Dan, welcome to the podcast, sir. How are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
We're glad to have you. You wrote a phenomenal article today that basically walked people through how to enjoy what's going to amount to an all-day tailgate without getting stupid and blackout drunk on section328.com today. And not only did you do that, you talked about some of the types and names of beers to do that. So, Dan, first question, do you have any experience getting blackout drunk at a hockey game, and what was the negative impact of that?
So I unfortunately I do have some experience.
How'd that happen, Dan?
At hockey game.
How'd that happen?
I did not pace myself. I did not institute any rules of maybe I shouldn't have like a fifth beer at the stadium after having several beers during a tailgate. And I made a lot of bad decisions, and the negative aspects, aside from the health concerns, were mostly that my wonderful friends got lots of very embarrassing pictures and video of me sleeping on their shoulders.
Yeah, all available soon on section328.com. So Dan, you mentioned this, and I say we talk a lot about beer and drinking on this podcast, and it's one thing to drink, but it's also another to drink responsibly, and we want to make sure that everybody is responsible and safe this weekend. So speaking from personal experience, I would say have 4 or 5 beers before the game. Just make sure they're not, 9-10 percenters.
Yeah, that's a bad move.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that is a lesson that I learned the hard way. I used to think Russian Imperial Stouts made for great tailgate beers, and I learned very poorly from, there was so much vomit. It was bad.
Yeah, barley wine is not sessionable, so let's go back to things you should do instead of what Donnie Don't does. So your article today, you talked a lot about the joy of sessionable beers, and you listed a bunch. So tell the folks, what are one or two of those beers anyway? And they can go to section328.com, read the rest there. But what are a couple really nice sessionable beers that folks should seek out and bring to this Saturday's tailgate or any tailgate where there may be several hours of beauty?
Yeah. So, obviously, if anyone has read my reviews, then they know I'm very partial to local beers. It's a thing that I'm very passionate about. And I think my number one beer would be Trophy Wife, obviously from Trophy in Raleigh. Mm. That is a session IPA that is citrusy with a little bit of floral notes. It's got a great body to it without being overpowering. I want to say it's 4.2%, and it's just a really great, refreshing beer that is one of my absolute favorites. If I were to throw out another, I would say Pregame from The Unknown out in Charlotte has really been impressing me recently as well. It's got this kind of orangey citrus quality to it that is just fantastic. And if you have to, if you're playing a cornhole game and you find yourself having to chug one, Pregame's not too bad to chug. It's a very smooth and drinkable beer.
Yeah, I would, as a guy who enjoys less of the let's call them IPA beers. When I was drinking beer, I often drank Coors Light. I'm not sure you're familiar with it. It's local to Denver. I actually hear it's what beer drinkers drink when they're not drinking beer. Why would you mock me for drinking a Coors Light, Dan?
Well, I'll tell you this: one of the nights that I was the most intoxicated, shortly after I turned 21, I was invited to a friend's apartment warming party and was handed a shot of tequila when I walked in, was made several mixed drinks. And in order to sober up, legitimately, in order to sober up at the time, I was drinking Coors Light because it's just water. Coors Light is, I don't want to get too into the specifics because I don't know for sure how it's made, but for the most part, from my understanding, it involves a lot of extracts. So it's basically using a lot of syrups to make really nasty, watered-down crap beer.
They filter it cold, and they ship it cold, and the mountains are blue. I believe that's the science behind it. Dan, I do want to get your thoughts, because you and I share a common enjoyment of IPAs and all things that are of the hop. But when Mike drinks beer, when he was drinking beer, and there are a lot of folks who don't enjoy the hop, what are some other things you could bring to a tailgate that are going to be both sessionable and enjoyable for folks this Saturday that aren't hoppy?
Well, I really like Kolsch's, and Pilsner's can sometimes encroach a little more on the hop, but I think one of the ones I call out specifically in the article is White Street Kolsch out of Wake Forest. That is my favorite example of a Kolsch. It's got a little bit of wheat to it. It's got very little hop quality, but it is a very easy drinking, lighter beer, crisp lager style. It's just really nice.
Yeah, it is quite full of the deliciousness. So what you're saying is maybe going Lagunitas double undercover shutdown, though, might be a bad idea.
Yeah, no, I mean, maybe having one at the very end of the tailgate and then not drinking any during the game is not a bad idea, although I would obviously encourage maybe pacing yourself so that you can enjoy one of the fine beverages that the PNC Arena has to offer. But, yeah, no, you don't want to have more than one of those throughout the day. That is going to be a quick way to either falling asleep during the game or spending most of the game over a toilet excising everything you've consumed beforehand.
Yeah, yeah. It happens. It happens. So, yeah. Dan, what the folks may not know is you actually can we almost say you grew up in Section 328. I've been fortunate enough to sit next to your old man for the better part of 18 seasons now, and watched the Spencer clan kind of grow up. So as we begin to take this, I believe now 19th season for the Carolina Hurricanes of existence, which is a more than right around 2/3 of your life, something like that. I'm bad at math.
Let's just go with that.
Let's go with that. Can you walk us through what's your favorite Carolina Hurricanes moment with your dad?
Oh, geez. I'm going to have to take a minute to think about that. That's a real tough one. There are so many, but I think one that stands out to me was after we won the cup back in 2006, they had the cup available for season ticket holders to, you know, come and hang out with. And my dad and I were obviously still riding the high of the Canes having won the cup. I got a lot of good bragging rights on my friend, my high school friend, Tim, who's a big Capitals fan. I'm not sure if you guys know this, that the Capitals don't have any cups to their name. Is that right?
What? Huh? What? Who?
Am I getting that right?
I think you are.
Oh, man. That must be real embarrassing for them. Anyway, so my dad and I went to the PNC Arena. I guess at the time it was still the
RBC Center?
RBC?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So we went and just enjoyed being around the cup and loved seeing the names on it, and just it was just such this incredible feeling of something that he and I have shared since I was a kid, of being huge on hockey and getting kind of that culmination of holy shit, we did it type of thing, you know?
Well, and you know, it's fun to think back to that 2006 season, and unfortunately this season we will not be returning to the Stanley Cup playoffs by the looks of it. But where we will be returning is to that plot of grass out in the East lot, where we have thrown many a cornhole bag and cracked many a beer over the years. And Dan, we appreciate you coming on to join us to educate the folks about what not to do, which is drink a whole bunch of high alcohol beers, but more yes. To pace yourself along the session IPAs, the Trophy Wifes, the Kolsch's, there's one that I actually like from Evil Twin Brewing called Bikini Beer. Mm-hmm. Bikini Beer is actually like 3.7, 3.8.
No, it's 2.9.
Oh, yeah, that's why I can drink all of them. just another good one that's out there. And Dan, I'm assuming that we will be seeing you, and folks can ask you about all of the beers that they bring to this weekend's Section 328 tailgate.
Without a doubt. And I also have some of my homebrews that I'll be bringing that'll be available for public consumption.
Oh, you fancy.
Like to take that risk.
Beautiful. For folks listening, it is not a risk. The man brews a fine beer.
He brews a beautiful beer, of which he actually takes hops from my garden to brew a beer named after my son. We're getting way too deep and personal into this podcast. People are already tuned out.
Hey, Dan, what's your blood type?
Hey, imagine that. People tune out Dan Spencer after 10 minutes. Dan, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you this weekend.
Thank you so much for having me on. You guys have a good one.
You know what? Maybe not the best known guest we've ever had, but I enjoy those chaps.
Dan and Hayes, they both know their stuff. Hayes, it's almost like he's done a career in radio. And like we said, Dan Spencer brews a damn fine beer. And if you follow him on Twitter, at Dantendo64, he tweeted out some of the things that he's going to be bringing from his homebrew stash. And he even name dropped the fact that Michelle McMahon enjoyed one of his beers.
Yes, the Dreamsicle is his orange cream ale. And it's gosh darn delicious.
Tis. He's even gotten his dad to like beer, and he does not like beer. So, should be a heck of a good time, and we will get to the details after Cheat Mail, Mike.
So you're talking, saying we should go to Cheat Mail, Cheat Mail. Gotta go get that Cheat Mail.
I think we should.
Derek,
the song was played. We better do it, right?
I will defer the first Cheat Mail question to you, sir.
Bully for me. Mike, let's start with something that's a hot topic tonight because Jeff Skinner has a new career high in goals.
Skinner!
This is from Isaac McClelland at I'm back in Pog form. Holy hell, that's a fantastic Twitter handle.
Yes, it is.
Skinny getting the C next year? If not, who's your pick?
So here's my... There's been a lot of talk on Kane's Twitter tonight about Jeff Skinner, and just go ahead and give him the C. Jeff Skinner is having the best goal season of his career. Jeff Skinner is playing some of the best defensive hockey he's played of his entire career. I believe putting additional pressure on a guy who is showing that he can have a secondary leadership role on this team and not having to be the guy who answers the questions every time he hits a six-game goalless streak is good. I think you take one of the more ready defensemen, maybe one of the young defensemen on this team, or maybe a secondary veteran and make them the captain. I think Jeff Skinner is exactly fine where he's at, unless he is begging Ron Francis and Coach Peters for the C and wants to accept that. I do not feel that thrusting the captaincy upon Jeff Skinner due to his goal-scoring prowess this year is going to buy this team nor organization anything. I love Jeff Skinner. I love what he is doing for this hockey club on and off the ice, and I think Jeff Skinner is best as an alternate captain.
So that's a good way to look at it, and I don't think many people are really considering it that to that extent, but I will offer a counter-argument to that, Mike. He was not an alternate captain last year. He is one this year, and he's thriving and playing really well. So perhaps he's the kind of guy who plays better with more responsibility on his shoulders and takes a little bit more ownership of it.
That is also a good point, Derek.
Thank you, sir.
I think Jacob Slavin has the second C, and that second C stands for captain.
Okay.
You know why I think that?
Why that?
Because former captain Rod Brind'Amour intimated as such on a recent interview with Sirius XM NHL Radio. And if Rod Brind'Amour says it,
who are we to doubt him?
That is correct. Derek, let's go to our buddy Mark Sheeg, I believe is how he pronounces his name. He is a member of the Hockey Writers covering the Columbus Blue Jackets. Are you consistently the loudest section of the PNC Arena?
I'd like to say yes. It's in our Twitter bio. It better be the truth. Yeah,
some days, some nights. There are some nights where we're quiet. There's some nights where if you're missing a large percentage of the leather lungs, I would include you and myself. And
comically enough, we were both absent on 328.
We were. I would also include Jack Spencer, former Section 328 resident Wade Minter. So we have lost some, you know, there are some nights where we are more boisterous than others. I think across an entire 82-game schedule, we are absolutely one of the leaders of the noise. We never want to be the noise if we can afford it.
That's exactly where I was going, because like, you know, we love when there's a group of like 40 college kids that parks up in 331 and they're bringing the noise all night. It's beautiful. The more sections in that building that could be considered the loudest, the better off it is.
Yeah. Newsflash, for those of you who may not have heard, our friends from the Oak City Supporters are coming back Thursday, Derek.
My body is ready.
Thursday night, the Oak City Supporters will once again be joining us in Section 328. So prepare yourself for hockey slash soccer style shenanigans and tomfoolery, and basically all of us losing our voices until 7 o'clock or so on Sunday.
Yep.
If you don't have tickets to the game and want to join us in 328 as part of the tomfoolery with the Oak City Supporters, go to our Twitter feed, find the link that the Oak City Supporters are $25 tickets for the game on Thursday against the St. Louis Blues.
Well, no, I think we're playing the Isle on Thursday. Oh, yeah. We're playing the Blues on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
I know. We both got Saturday on the brain.
I'm drunk
I can't
with power.
Blame you.
Go ahead.
This is from our good buddy at Peak of Good Living from left field. Should the Wild be wearing North Stars gear tonight, even though they aren't part of the North Stars franchise?
Absolutely not. The North Stars currently reside in Dallas. The team that is in Minnesota currently has no connection with the North Stars, and I believe that team should automatically forfeit any points tonight for having warmed up in an incorrect jersey.
I like the way you think. I think if you're going to wear the jersey in warmups, you should also go full into it and buy the damn socks and pants. I don't care if it takes longer to change. And by that token, Winnipeg should not get to wear the old Dale Hawerchuk Winnipeg Jets sweaters. Those are Coyotes gear.
Derek, question from our buddy Kevin Kohler, at Kohler K08. Lots of talk about Duchesne, Landeskog, Dawson Schumann, Gretzky. Why no talk about Oshie? Is the cost too high for a 30-goal scorer and shootout specialist?
Yes, and he is older than the other guys. And he plays wing, whereas the other guys, well, Landeskog doesn't play wing, but Draisaitl and Duchesne both play center, which is a position of more need. So I floated out there earlier that I didn't mean give Oshie a blank check, but see what Oshie wants. I have a feeling it's more than I think he's worth and that this franchise needs to pay him. But let's say Oshie wants something crazy, like a couple-year deal for only a few million per. Yeah, why not? But he's not a guy I'm pining for.
Well, I also think if you look at the point at which Oshie is at in his career, he delivers value to teams that would be in the hunt for Lord Stanley's Chalice. And while I think we are going to make another step forward next season, I do not know if players of his age and skill level are going to be pining to come to Carolina as part of a championship run.
Right.
Whereas if we prove, as I hope we do at the start of next season, Ron Francis will be able to go and get Oshie-like players at maybe a contractual discount at the trade deadline to bolster this group, much as Jim Rutherford did during our 2006 season.
I can't fault that at all. How many more questions do we have time for, Mike? Do you have any more for me? Because I have one for you that I think is kind of the showstopper.
Yeah, I know we've got time for a couple. So let's go for two more each. Why not?
Okay.
Let's answer the people.
Let us answer the people. All right. Then I'll just throw this one in there then right now from Will Looper at W Looper. Have you ever confronted an internet troll that likes to post empty seat pics and rag on his own team in person?
Yes. Yes, I have. I know the troll that you mention. We will not mention him on this podcast. I have addressed this person face to face, and I have asked them to be a man about it. This person has turned tail and ran and immediately jumped on the Twitter to call us bad people. We've blocked this person. We don't talk to this person. We've talked to numerous internet trolls. I am a big fan of owning up to what you say in person. And we've said a lot of not nice things about a lot of people.
What?
You know, we've made jokes about Aaron Ward and his previous legal problems. I have no problem seeing Aaron Ward and talking to him, even though he may be bigger, stronger, and uglier than me. we took pot shots at Chantel McCabe over not only her legal issues, but her inability to pronounce names right and bring down the reputation of this, the Carolina Hurricanes Hockey Club, by giving us, you know, by kind of not knowing the sport as it was. And when we were given the opportunity, we shared those opinions with her face to face and worked them out. So I have no problems with people having opinions. We've had people accuse us of trying to be the cool kids. We are not the cool kids. We are the kids who have an opinion. We will state it. And the one thing we have always said is we are true to who we are. We are not going to change who we are. We are guys who like to be loud, who love this hockey club unabashedly most nights, are proud of them most nights, and we enjoy what we do and have fun what we do. We welcome those who want to come along for the ride to please do it. Those of you who want to be complete and utter assholes, we look forward to the time we get to look you in the eye and say, you're an asshole, and we we hope you one day get what's coming to you. And I'm really, really hopeful that the asshole that Will Looper is referring to, really what's gets coming to him this season, which is getting his season tickets revoked from the PNC Arena. Nothing would make me happier, and I will dance on his season ticket grave the day he is no longer allowed to be in that building. Is that the answer you were looking for, Derek?
No further questions.
Derek, this one may be...
I may have one more, but go ahead.
This one may be near and dear to your heart. This one is from Alexander Jones, but not that Alex Jones.
Oh, thank God.
Would I ever be allowed back into Section 328 after pointing out that Das German Gretzky should actually be Der German Gretzky? Hashtag that guy.
Yes. Not that Alex Jones. You are certainly welcome to receive a warm embrace. You can choose the duration from me. Mike may shun you forever, but that's kind of how we each roll individually. So I saw that tweet and I got a tremendous kick out of it. I don't know my German grammar that well. And I always, oh boy, that's really on the nose to call somebody correcting your German a grammar Nazi.
Woof. Woof.
So I won't.
No.
But
let's not go there.
But no, not that Alex Jones. Come here and get a hug for correcting grammar, because I love it.
You, unless you have a copy of E.B.'s Strunken White's Elements of Style in German, I don't want your shit, Alex Jones.
Would that be Das Elements of Style?
No, it'd probably be Der Elements of Style. I don't know, Jesus. I just want Leon Dreisaitl. Leave me alone.
Die, Bart, die. That's actually German for the Bart, the. And surely no one who speaks German could be evil.
Next question.
I actually don't know that I have any more questions. I mean, based on where the last two have gone, where can we go from here?
I do have one more question.
Okay, good.
From our good friend, Matt Peterson. He is at Matt Peterson, P.E., at Section 328. What's the score? Hashtag
Ooh.
Cheat mail.
Ooh, just a moment. Refreshing. Score mobile's taking a while.
Score.
Stupid score. It's rebooting here. There we go. End of two, still 4-3, Minnesota.
Yeah, there we go. At the end of two, Carolina Hurricanes down one, just needing to score two goals. One of them, of course, will be a Jeff Skinner hat trick goal, and then I'm assuming a game winning goal by none other than Sebastian Aho.
And we are currently being outshot 32-18.
Yeah, whatever. Bruce Boudreau's teams always peter out at the end anyway.
Truth.
So, Derek, I think that gets us to your favorite part of the evening.
Well, not necessarily, but it is one of the more enjoyable ones. Nice little beer review.
We've talked a lot about
beer tonight. I'm going to talk about what I'm drinking right now. This is one I had not seen before. This comes to us from our friends at Deep River Brewing Company in Clayton, North Carolina, Johnston County's first legal brewery. This is the Golden Antler IPA, which I had not seen before. And I was like, well, let me pick it up because I like their beers. Golden Antler is a limited edition IPA offering that comes out once per year. Has intense papaya, pear, and tropical flavors coupled with a smooth malt backbone that rounds out this beer. They use Mosaic and Calypso hops for both the dry and late edition of hops, which adds to a 1-2 punch of flavor and aroma in this beer that's sure to please anyone in the pursuit of hoppiness. So that's a lot of words to talk about the beer, and it came in a 16-ounce can. I think it ran me about $3, maybe $4, because, you know, it's a little more when you buy a single of it. Pours a nice, not a pale yellow, but maybe a pale orange kind of color, a little bit of head on the beer, and it is on the clear side, so it's probably been filtered out, which I'm kind of enjoying the unfiltered IPAs more right now. They aren't lying about the tropical fruit. I don't exactly know how to discern papaya from other tropical flavors and aromas, but I mean, it's there. Pear is kind of a faint note as well. It tastes nice. Like, I was expecting tropical in the way that God, I don't know, not Citra hops, but like lemon drop and some I can't think of all the hop names now, but some that are just absolute, like,
Das German hop?
Yeah, some of the Australian hops, like some of those things. Drop Bear from Linwood. That's a great example of just that tropical Australian style that I truly love. And this does a decent job. The flavors are fine. There's a little more of that malt backbone than I would personally care for, because I don't like a ton of malt in an IPA. And then there's this extra element to it, and I don't know if it's from this can, if it's just the batch, if it's just the way it's hitting me, but there's a faint metallic note. Not like it's gone bad, but it's just not great. So this beer is fine. I'm enjoying this one. I'm not pouring it out, but I'm not seeking out another one of this. I would much rather drink some other offerings from Deep River before I come back to this one. So maybe not one that I would bring to the tailgate this Saturday, but you know, if you like Deep River, it might be better on draft too. You know, check it out if you want, but don't go out of your way to get it.
I think what you're saying, Derek, is the beer that our good friends at Trophy are going to be providing for us this Saturday, which is Trophy Wife, may be superior to what you've enjoyed this evening.
I absolutely love Trophy Wife, and I'm not saying this as a shill or a honk. At work, you know, I'm lucky enough at work to have a kegerator with a couple kegs, and we've had kegs of Trophy Wife at work, and oh man, it's just, it's beautiful stuff. I truly love that beer, and it is sessionable as hell, and that's a great like tropical style like Dan talked about and Hayes mentioned. So yeah, Trophy beer is gonna be on point at the tailgate this Saturday, but wait, there's more.
So for those of you who have listened this far into the podcast and have been waiting for this, please consider this your official invite to the season ending Section 328 tailgate that will be happening in the east lot of the PNC Arena. We are going to be getting out there early to secure our spot, to get our tents up, to get our flags up, to get everything right. But if we were to say, if you were to arrive, I don't know, let's say 1 o'clock, you'd be late. We're not going to tell you exactly how early we're going to get there because the Canes are going to, you know, put security guards out there, but we're planting our asses in our patch of grass early. So let's say the official tailgate kicks off 1-2-ish, something like that. We'll be out there. We're going to be having a few deliveries made throughout the day. Trophy's going to be bringing beer. Derek, what are we going to be doing for food? Should I bring a grill and slave over a grill all day and sweat and sweat into the hot dogs?
You can if you want. You could even drop them on the ground if you wanted to.
Hi, JC.
But I wouldn't recommend that. Okay. You know why?
Why?
Because there is delicious local pizza that's going to be there. So we had at a game earlier this year, we threw it up on Instagram. People were like, holy hell, that pizza looks awesome. And they were right. It was. So our buddies at Donato's downtown at Seaboard Station are providing us with a, I'm going to call it a buffet of pizza. They are hooking us up with like five different types of pizza. And yeah, you are not going to leave our tailgate hungry. Thanks to Donato's for sponsoring a whole mess of pizza.
And for what it's worth, we did have a whole mess of pizza that we paid for out of our own pockets for the Section 328 WrestleMania party. And I could tell you, not only was the pizza delicious, but their little tins of meatball appetizers, they're just a little meatballs and some mozzarella on the top, were delicious.
I did not get any of those.
Yeah, not only did we eat those, but the next day, the missus actually took the meatballs out of the container, put them into a hoagie bun, and made herself a little meatball hoagie. They were absolutely phenomenal.
So,
so we are very thankful for the folks at Donato's over at Seaboard Station to provide us with mass amounts of pizza.
And I gotta say one other little thing, because when we had their pizza at our tailgate a couple months ago, some people pointed out that they use the small pepperoni that curls up a little bit. Yeah. So if you like that little crispy edges on pepperoni, for a treat.
Yeah, I know we've got at least three of those pepperoni pizzas coming. They're always the first to go. They were the first to go at the Section 328 WrestleMania party, and they will be the first to go on Saturday. But we will have that. I'm sure we will have a cornhole tournament. So if you would like to take on the world champs of the world, the reigning Section 328 tailgate cornhole champions, yes, that's right. That is Derek and I. You will have your chance to compete in the Section 328 cornhole tournament. I'm sure there will be prizes. The belts will be out there. And I will actually say this. The only guys who have legitimately beaten us this year are coming in from Washington.
That's oh, those right. guys are pros.
The guys who attended the Caniacs Unite tailgate in support of our buddy Tony Price and his fight against cancer, who joined us at the tailgate, are coming back because they enjoyed the tailgate so much. They're driving in from Washington and West Virginia. They're going to be out there with us all day. So if you see some guys in some Caps jerseys or Mountaineers gear, give them some love because they are really great guys. But more than that, they are freaking awesome cornhole players. So we've got that. We were going to have tunes out there. We're going to have drinks of all sorts. But again, thank you to Donato's and thank you to Trophy for doing what you guys do best, which is help support us support the Carolina Hurricanes.
One last thing. We're talking about support, but 6:15 or so, be there for the Jaeger Pass.
Yeah. If you're a new listener to the Section 328 Cheaters Never Win podcast, or may not be familiar with what we're talking about, if you are of the legal drinking age, which is 21 years old in the state of North Carolina, between 6 and 6:15, we will put away all of our tailgate gear. We will make a giant circle, and we will get a large bottle of Jägermeister, at which point we will crack the top of it, and we will give thanks to everything that has happened good and well in this, our last hockey season. We will pass that bottle of Jägermeister around, which we will all communally drink out of it until that said bottle of Jägermeister is gone. We refer to it as the Jaeger Pass. We do it twice a season, at the beginning of the season and at the end of the season. We had hoped that this year's Jaeger Pass was going to be in the May-June timeframe, but it will not stop us from sharing what has become a 10-15-year tradition with you, all of our greatest friends who share in this, our love and loathe of Carolina Hurricanes hockey. So, Derek, I think that kind of wraps it up for tonight. Thanks to Dan. Thanks to Hayes. Thanks to Donato's. Thanks to Trophy. And thanks in advance to all of you who are coming out. We'll make sure we put up pictures on our Twitter account of the parking lot, give you guys a general idea where we are going to be. Again, we're going to be in the 2000 lot, east entrance of the PNC Arena, kind of fairly close to where the exit is that bleeds out directly onto Wade Avenue, near the big large video board that promotes PNC Arena events out there on Wade Avenue. So we'll be loud, we'll be drinking Trophy, just coming around to tailgates and be like, hey, are you guys the Section 328 tailgates? If they say yes, that's us. If they say no, ask them for a beer, and if they say no, just keep going. But yeah, if they offer you a beer, stick around for a little while, because they're probably pretty good people.
Hang out with them. So yeah, please come out. If we've met you before, there's a hug in it for you. If we haven't met you, there's a hug in it for you. Come on out. We would love to convene with friends new and old. A couple other things. You know, if you're buying some gear for this tailgate, you still have time.
Yeah.
You can load up if you need koozies, or for some reason you want to bring a grill, or you just need some more cornhole bags because you left yours out in the rain and they got all kinds of musty. Head on over to Amazon, but before you do, head over to section328.com, click that Buy on Amazon button, and it doesn't cost you anything, and it just throws a few coins into the old 328 piggy bank. If you really love this podcast, or if you really hate us and want to show your spite through money, check us out on Patreon. Again, section328.com. There's a support us on Patreon button. We've got a lot of cool rewards there, and we truly, truly appreciate anybody who clicks over to our site and clicks through either of those buttons.
And we can confirm, as it was booked tonight, that there will be at least multiple members of the Section 328 staff heading to Chicago to cover the National Hockey League entry draft, so that way we can welcome in the newest Carolina Hurricanes as Ron Francis makes his selections at the United Center. We are, again, continuing to do everything we can to make this podcast better and to provide you more coverage. I know we don't do a lot of stories like maybe some of the other blogs in town do, and they do great work, and we don't want to step all over them, but we do have a great staff of writers who have a very unique perspective, and we've been fortunate enough to add to the family this year. So we thank you for listening to this podcast all season, all the support you have given us, and we look forward to getting together this Saturday, rain or shine.
Looks like shine.
And we're going to support this team. Derek, I'm going to give a newsflash to folks. If you show up at like 1, I'm probably going to be in pretty good shape. If you show up at like 6, good chance I'm in pretty good shape. Somewhere between like 3 and 4:30, I'm probably going to be hammered. So if you show up at that time and like I linger a hug too long, just tell me, because I love you and I love people, and it is going to be a blast. So thank you guys in advance for coming out. Next week, we will do kind of our end of the season podcast. We'll probably have a few more members of the 328 staff here in the worldwide headquarters studio with us.
We'll look back on how terrible our preseason predictions turned out.
Woof. Newsflash, we're not smart.
This is why we do this, and we're not on the TVs.
Until then, we're not going to say the normal stuff. We're just going to say, we'll see you on Saturday. But until then, my name's Mike.
This is Derek.
And we are out of here.
Yeah!